I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime. You know, socially. Go out and kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in hour two. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Monday here on 1080 The Fan, Portland sports leader. Dirt did something we should all thank him for. So he went to the Facebook post that I put up, and he found the individual and their comment, and he put the name in there because if you're going to say something that idiotic, your name should be in it.
Oh, your name is, if you comment on Facebook, you're out there in public.
By the way, I don't think this individual is anything to worry about. I clicked his profile. He's described as self-employed. He attended Santa Rosa Junior College for a little bit.
Yeah, a cup of coffee in college.
And I hate to say this, but he's kind of the stereotype of who you think would say what he said. So Dirt tweeted this out with a screen grab of the comment, and you can see it on his Twitter, at Dieter Johnson.
Enjoy.
So Dirt, I come back in, and Dirt's like, hey, I tweeted out the comment, and I'm like, oh, what? Because I was thinking, did he just type it out word for word?
No, you screen grabbed it.
Yeah,
I screen grabbed it. You can go look at it.
Yeah, you can find it there. A lot to get to. We'll get to some baseball stuff. The Cubs are going swinging for the fences. I also have a problem with Barack Obama.
Baseball stuff!
You got beef with Barack, huh?
I do have some beef with Barack, yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that during the baseball segment. We got some other goodies to get to. But it is Monday. Let's get the NFL whip around going.
Frozen Tundra.
Boy, what a difference winning makes, right? Because if you ask the Jacksonville Jaguars what matters, it's winning. They've taken the tarps off their four big sections because they're selling out tickets. They've increased their ticket prices 10%. And they've announced winning feels so good, we can't be ugly anymore. So they're getting plastic surgery for themselves. And they'll have new unis and helmets that they're introducing in the springtime.
First off, the new helmets is long overdue for Jacksonville. The dual color thing drives me nuts.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Pick a color and go with it. I don't care if you want gold. I don't care if you want black. Pick
you
one or the
to
other.
You want teal? You want teal helmets?
I'm fine with that. Just you can't do the half and half. It just is a bad look. Nobody likes it. So
what about, the spots? Like, should they have, like, the Jaguar spots?
Cool. I'm cool with Jaguar spots. Bengals go the tiger stripes, you know?
And that makes me think of, like, women's underwear or something. I don't want to see that on your helmet.
Marcus.
little leopard print there.
Jesus. Like the yellowies there.
Yeah, like the Bengals can get away with it because it's the stripes and you don't see that.
Is there any football team out there that has spots on a helmet? Cat spots on a helmet?
There's no other cats, are there?
Well, I'm trying to think of like college. Is that like a unique college helmet anywhere?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. You'd have leopards.
No, the Wildcats.
Jaguars.
Wildcats do A's. Yeah.
The Ohio University Bobcats. I don't think they have them.
Just do a cat with whiskers.
The Panthers. You got the Panthers and the Jags. The Panthers have a kick-ass helmet.
Yeah, the Panthers got a good looking helmet.
Panthers don't have spots. They're all black.
Yeah.
Right.
So yes, they need new helmets.
If you came out with spotted helmets, I would just think every time you take the, I would just like think of like a little kitten meow.
That kind of sums up Blake Bortles' passing game, doesn't it?
It does.
Spotty.
I love the dad jokes are just flowing today.
Oh, they are flying. They are flying. Hey, this is what happens when you win, though. You can take the tarps off of your seats. You can sell more of them.
10% increase isn't bad, though, for a team that got to the AFC title game.
No, it's, you know, we'll see if they can get back there next year with Blake Bortles as their quarterback again. But you capitalize on it, and it's good on them. They're finally going to make some money. People finally care about that team down there.
You know, I don't know about you. I actually really liked their old stuff. Like their original unis when they came out. I hope when they rebrand.
The Mark Brunell days.
Yeah, get back to what you are. Be Florida, be eccentric, be bright.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then have like a real Jag on there.
Now, let me ask older people this. Does every generation have this same thing? Because I feel that way about uniforms in almost every sport. Like I was talking, we were talking to Tim Taylor the other day about the Seahawk unis. And I was, he had an old school Seahawk shirt on. I was
the
like,
original,
you know what?
Yeah.
They should go back to those old. I love
I
that.
I actually
old look.
Like the new Seahawks jerseys. I think the newer ones are cool.
See, I don't know if that's a generational thing of just remembering. I do this with NBA jerseys. Like 90s NBA jerseys to me is like the peak. You're never going to top it.
Oh, I thought some of the 90s were the worst.
See,
the Utah Jazz
thing.
Ones.
Okay, you've answered my question.
Did you like the 80s?
It depends.
Because we were different decades. You were 80s, we're more 90s.
I thought the Cavaliers 90s jerseys were horrible.
The thing about the Seahawks, though, see, I think we say you want that gray and the green and the blue. I think it's cool for one game a year. I think overall it was kind of ugly. But give me it for once a year. Do a throwback. These ones now significantly better than what they had from like 03, 02 till what? 2012?
Right, whenever it changed.
You know those ugly, real dark ones they had?
Those
I hated those ones.
Those are bad. I'm with you there.
Those were ugly.
I feel like I always remember fondly on uniforms. Jacksonville's another one of those teams. The Jaguars unis of the late 90s. Big fan of. They should go back to those.
All right, let's move on. How about some early recruiting for free agency? Wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans posted to his Twitter a picture of Jimmy Graham in a Texans uniform. Houston has more cap space available than Seattle. So we'll see if that matters, if they're going to actually have a chance here to get him. But I know Jimmy Graham wasn't the most productive in Seattle. The idea of him being paired with what they have going on at the wide receiver position in Houston, along with a dynamic guy like Deshaun Watson, man, that's a scary scenario playing out in Houston if they have a chance to get him.
Yeah, it really is. And you hit it when you said he was disappointing in Seattle, but the potential is still there. And part of that for me was always it just being a bad fit. They didn't know how to use him. He didn't know how to play well in that offense.
Well, they better have five good offensive linemen to protect Deshaun Watson.
Well, it worked perfectly fine in when he was in New Orleans. You know, he was the most dynamic tight end in the National Football League when he was there, when Drew Brees was throwing it to him. So, he's a wide receiver. He's not a tight end. Never has been. That's why when he got paid with the franchise tag, remember that issue? They wanted him to be counted as a wide receiver, not as a tight end, because of the amount of times that he was slotted up outside the line of scrimmage. So this is a scary fit of him and Hopkins. It all just comes down to, A, as Swag mentioned, not needing him to block, and B, knowing that you're using him in the right system.
Do you think they'd be able to do that right in Houston?
I do.
Houston's always one of those teams where you feel a little uneasy that they get it, they can figure it out. But with Watson, man, it's a game changer.
Houston is a sleeper team for me. Not sleeper is not the right word, but a team just to keep a close eye on, because Watson, as good as he was, it was a really short spurt. Like, let's not act like he was dominant for 14 games. He didn't start in the first one, came in,
The Texans,
played a couple of months, and he got hurt.
They need to go find out who, I don't know who, I can't remember who the O-line coach of the Broncos was back when Elway, when they were... They were smaller than when Schlereth was there. They were all like 285, 290 athletic, because they're going to roll him out left and right. They need to go find that guy and get a lot of pulling guards and that sort of thing to move the pocket. Because otherwise, Watson's just going to get pummeled again.
All right, and let's move along to this. It's way too early, but I know football fans, we are always interested in this. They've already come out with the strength of schedule ranking. Your Green Bay Packers have the toughest schedule in the NFL next season.
Ruh-roh.
Lions are second, Saints third, Bucks fourth, and get this, you can't win. Tied for fifth with three other teams. The Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns didn't win a game, and they ended up with right now the fifth toughest schedule going to next year. They're tied with the Rams the Seahawks and the Bucks.
Now, it should be pointed out that's all based on projections. So you could have some teams.
Yeah, winning
that,
percentages right. from this year that go into
you
next
translate
year.
It. Yeah. So look, there's some teams that maybe you circle as a really tough game and they end up being 2-8 when you play them and, you know, in the second half of the season. But that's a tough one for Cleveland. But also, I mean, Green Bay is going to be a unique team to watch next year as well because of the Rodgers injury. That division is not a gimme. Minnesota was just in the NFC Championship game. Detroit, I know they're Detroit, but they're always right around 500 and in ball games with Matthew Stafford. And maybe Chicago takes a step with year two under Trubisky. So having the toughest schedule in the NFL, it's not going to make things easy.
All right, there's our NFL whip around. We do it every Monday at 1 o'clock. We could have done some other stories, but I actually think I'd rather talk about them longer than just about a minute. And I want to start here. I think this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard a Super Bowl champion say. Kudos to you, Lane Johnson. And we'll talk about what you talked about next on The Fan. Grandma's hand played a tambourine. When you win a Super Bowl, you always feel like you can do anything you want, right? You can have some fun with it. Well, Lane Johnson, who is not shy of speaking his opinion, which I love as a sports media member, they won. They're the big underdogs. They won all their games. They get the Lombardi Trophy, and they beat the Patriots.
To the victor go the spoils.
They get their first Super Bowl title ever. And then Lane Johnson hopped on the Pardon My Take podcast, a part of Barstool Sports, and gave his two cents on winning versus with the Eagles versus winning as a New England Patriot.
I just think the Patriot way is it's a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They won for a long time. Do I think people enjoy, can say, I had a lot of fun playing there? No, I don't.
Right.
And that's just God honest truth. You know, not to be reckless, but hey, I would much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and, you know,
win five Super Bowls.
Yeah, win five Super Bowls, but hey.
I did love that, though. PFT commenter basically throwing, yeah, five Super Bowls. They're not having any fun. Like
five Super Bowls.
And Lane didn't pick up on it, too. Lane's like, oh, yeah, five. He's like telling you, dude, they won five Super Bowls. There's no way they're not having fun. So this led to, this is going to lead us to a conversation. But the first I want to point out, we did a poll question on this. And I thought about this yesterday when I saw this comment. And you can vote at Dirt and Sprague. What's the bigger fear-based organization? Which one would you rather be a part of, Scientology or the New England Patriots? Because it sounds like you can't get out of either.
No.
Unless
you get too big of a contract, and then Belichick's going to trade your ass 2 years later. I'm not going to lie, man. Sometimes we can overreact. This might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Wait, which one are you voting?
Scientology would get my vote.
You'd rather be a Scientologist?
Oh, no. Sorry. That was like a true or false understanding of the question the wrong way. I would rather be a New England Patriot than a Scientologist. I thought it was which one uses more fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, then it's for sure Scientology.
Right, it's for sure Scientology.
Yeah.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Me too,
Lane Johnson, I get it, man. You're trying to enjoy your moment in the sun. You're getting a lot of interviews, and you won a Super Bowl, so more power to you for speaking your mind. To say that you, well, first off, to act like you know exactly what it's like to be a Patriot when you've never played for that organization, well, there's strike one of your stance being taken down because a number of former Patriot players have come forward to say this is just completely ridiculous. We have a ton of fun. You don't know what it's like to be a New England Patriot. And to say that you would only, you're okay just winning one as long as you're having fun and you wouldn't want to win five because they're too strict over there and they don't get to have fun with the media and they have to have these same canned answers and they don't get bulletin board material. I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up as somebody that I don't want to be my teammate. If you're just doing this to have fun and have a good time and put on a dog mask and buy everybody in Philadelphia Bud Light, cool. Do your thing, but I'm okay with passing having you on my football team.
But let me ask you this. What did they say outside of accepting the underdog role? What did Philly say that New England wasn't able to?
Not a whole lot.
Right? So even going into the game, it wasn't like they were sitting there at the podium spouting off, talking about, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They said, we know who they are, we respect them, we're a big underdog, and we feel confident in ourselves. And that was it. That was about as fun as you got from the pregame. Then you win the postgame, and now you come out and you're talking big like that. When you win five Super Bowls, and I know not every player on the Patriots did win five Super Bowls. When you're a part of a dynasty or part of that incredible run that's been 18 years, you're having fun. I don't care that you can't comment on Rex Ryan's foot fetish.
Right.
That doesn't bother me. Gronkowski seems to have fun when he talks to the media.
Gronk is having a great time in life.
So some people are buttoned up, professional, and they just want to say what they want to say at the bare minimum and get out and go do their job. And then you have a mix of Gronkowskis, Lane Johnsons of the world that want to say more and have fun and joke around. Give the Eagles all the credit in the world for winning the Super Bowl. They won me money, so I'm happy for them. But give me a break with this. Teddy Bruschi was on ESPN today, and he basically responded to this. I had a ton of fun when I played there.
Yeah, I won three or four Super Bowls.
I won three Super Bowls, yeah. And I didn't have a time when I didn't have fun doing it. And then he also went on and kind of took a shot at Doug Peterson and was like, hey, if you want a coach to go on a double date with, be my guest. Bill Belichick was great.
Yeah, and I don't view that as a shot at Doug Peterson. He just was saying, the coach isn't there to be your buddy. The coach is there to win football games. And there's a level of respect for New England that doesn't exist for other organizations around the league. Like, yes, they do a lot of things that some other teams don't. Yes, they're very strict with the way that they cut and move on from players. And sometimes it can seem to be cold-hearted with how they move on from guys. But they do it, and it results in winning. And if that's your ultimate goal in playing football is to win, it doesn't matter how good of a personal relationship you have with your head coach. Doesn't matter what you're able to say to the media or how you're able to interact with fans. I think the Gronk example is a great example of, yes, New England players can have fun, and Gronk is example A for that. But if you're playing football to win, which is the goal for most of these guys, is to go out there and that's what you want to do at the end of the day. As Herm Edwards says, you play to win the game. It doesn't matter how much fun you're having off the field. It matters what the result is at the end of the game, and nobody's better than New England.
I have a real feeling that I'm going to be very conflicted watching the Eagles play football the next couple years. I'll be conflicted because I think there's going to be players on that team that I'm going to enjoy watching mixed in with players that say dumb things that I'm sitting there shaking my head going, dude, don't act like you've won eight Super Bowls. You won one.
Well, and don't also act like you dominated that football game. Like, that was a back-and-forth game that without a strip sack and a controversial call at the end, or not at the end, excuse me, but on the Clement touchdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That easily could have gone either way.
Right.
New England could have won that game on a last-second drive by Tom Brady. If you don't have that strip sack that leads to the...
They're probably losing that game if they don't get
a strip
sack.
New England is probably winning that football game because you didn't have a shot at hell outside of a sack and a fumble at stopping Tom Brady. He was going up and down the field against you at will in the second half. Three drives, three touchdowns. Then you finally got your stop. If you don't have that, you lose. Then are we still saying this? You'd rather have fun and lose a Super Bowl than have no fun and win six of them? It's ridiculous.
Did he get caught up in the hot take machine?
Yes, he did.
Do you think he really meant that, or do you think he gets caught? Because sometimes you can be in a position where you just like giving opinion, and then you take a second, you're like, oh, I don't know if I really feel that way, but you already said it, so you can't take it back. I think he's one of those guys.
It's partial to me. I think he got caught up. I think he's caught up with having a big head because he won the Super Bowl and everybody wants to talk to him because he was kind of a guy who caught some headlines before the game because of the Bud Light stuff.
Wearing dog masks.
Right. Yeah. So he's this character guy, and I think he's running with it a little bit, and he's saying a lot of things. I just don't like how this has turned into, and every like radio show all over the country is debating, would you rather have fun or would you rather win? What is this, child sports? Are we handing out Capri Suns afterwards?
Well, when did the Patriots not have fun? My question is, when did they not have fun winning Super Bowls? They looked pretty happy last year.
It's a false narrative that's been created that we have no way to back up because they're strict with players because you can't talk about Rex Ryan's foot fetish. They're not allowed to have fun. I don't get where that's coming from.
See, I think we actually can back this up. They can have fun. You just have to win and execute.
Yeah.
And again, to my original point, what were the Eagles doing before the Super Bowl? They weren't saying a whole lot. They were buttoned up, they handled the questions the right way, and they talked about how they took on the underdog role. It's not really that outrageous or more fun than what the Patriots were saying. So it's just ridiculous to me because we saw last year when they beat Atlanta and they came back, I thought LeGarrette Blount and James White looked like they were having fun in the end zone celebrating a game-winning touchdown.
They were having a blast after that one.
Tom Brady seemed pretty happy on the podium. He's hoisting the trophy saying, let's go!
Somebody needs to circle back with this with Lane Johnson. Let's say New England gets back to the Super Bowl next year and finds a way to win one, but Lane Johnson and the Eagles get bounced like in the first round.
Right.
Do a circle back interview. Was that more fun, Lane, to get bounced in the first round? Are you enjoying not winning?
Versus having five or six.
Having six.
I think Belichick was having fun here.
No days off. No, there's all.
Which is kind of ironic for the segment because he's talking about how we never have a day off while celebrating having a day off. It's great.
Let's go!
Thank you.
See?
I think they have a ton of fun in New England.
Yeah, they're doing all
right. And I'm not even a New England fan. I just saw this. Come on, bro.
Well, and you mentioned Philly watching them the next couple of years. It will be interesting. And you add on top of that, too, now the coaches that they've lost. I thought Colin brought up a really good point this morning, looking at some of the offenses and what's happened with them when they lose their either offense coordinator or quarterback coach. And Atlanta is the prime example of this. Kyle Shanahan leaving to go be the head coach of the 49ers, and they went from being an absolute juggernaut on that side of the ball to now with Steve Sarkisian, and they're struggling to score 17 points a game.
Right.
They only scored 10 in the playoffs. So I think Doug Peterson is unique because he's a great offensive mind himself, and he has been his whole career as a coach, so maybe they can survive it. But they've now lost their offensive coordinator and their quarterback coach, which is what happens when you win. People want to come take your coach and say, hey, you won with Nick Foles. How'd you do it? Come do it with our team. So you lose your quarterback coach and your offensive coordinator. And a lot of examples in the last 7-8 years of teams that have lost good offensive minds and then have regressed to the mean on that side of the football.
Did the 49ers learn from Alden Smith? We'll find out soon enough. That's next.
Hey, somebody finally signed in Major League Baseball. We'll get to that coming up in crunch time, 13 minutes from now. Should kids be allowed to play football? That's at the top of the hour. And a former NFL player trying to make a comeback, also in the final hour of the show.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. So we'll get to all that stuff coming up. Now we have the latest opportunity for Roger Goodell to see where his stance is on domestic violence and how seriously they want to take allegations of that nature. Because over the weekend, Reuben Foster, San Francisco 49ers linebacker, former Alabama linebacker, was arrested on suspicion, domestic violence threats, and assault weapon possession at his home in California. Police were called to his house regarding a possible disturbance. And after they made contact with Foster and the victim, they took him into custody. He was released on $75,000 bail. The 49ers have basically remained silent on this. They've said, we're aware, we're going to, you know, get all the information, the same bullet point answer you get from every organization in this situation. And reportedly, Reuben Foster is meeting with the 49ers today. And this also, let's not forget, comes on the heels of him getting arrested last month in Alabama on possession of marijuana charge that was, he posted bond and was released, paid his fine, and went on his way. So not a good offseason for Reuben Foster, and this will be interesting to see how the NFL handles it because it's another case of domestic violence.
Right, the NFL is going to have one way to handle it, and we'll figure that out. I'm actually way more fascinated how the Niners handle this. There's a lot of things to think about here. One, Reuben Foster played well when he was healthy, and that is the word that hurts, is when. He wasn't healthy last year. He got banged up, and he got banged up rather easily, which was kind of the knock on him going into the draft. When he did play, I believe he won Defensive Rookie of the Month, if I'm not mistaken.
Very talented when
he was on the field.
He's
a really good player when he's on the field, but that is the thing, is can you keep him on the field for 16 games? And then you add on, Dirt, that this is Alden Smith 2.0. It really is. I'm not saying the kid's guilty of the domestic or the assault weapon charges. We'll find that out. But now you're tied to three incidents this offseason. This is like a month after he had the marijuana possession in Alabama. I think it's overreactionary by that state, but I'm from Oregon, so of course I'm going to be a little more progressive in my thinking about marijuana. But still, when you get involved in something that's illegal there, and then you get caught up in another incident with domestic issues and weapons charges, this is Alden Smith 2.0. And I know the Niners are going to do their due diligence. They're going to have to really hammer out how they feel about this. He went to the facility today, and he supposedly got just an earful from everybody, as he should. They need to decide and weigh, is he worth it? I know he was a late first-round pick. I know how great of a player he is when he's on the field, but man, if you're not showing consistency to stay healthy and you're making poor choices, as hard as it is sometimes as an organization, you just got to say, look, we may lack that talent. We may have to try to make that up with two players versus just having him. This isn't worth the headache. And I'm not saying the Niners are going to cut him, but I think they've got a real decision to make here of, do you say, all right, this is the last straw now, mm-hmm. and support him because he thinks he's completely innocent of all this? Or do you just say, you know what, we're going to let it play out, but we're not feeling great. Goodbye.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. I think watching what the 49ers do here will be interesting. If I were them, I would cut and run. No reason in keeping a guy like this around. Yeah, I know he's a good football player, but he's constantly been in trouble since he left Alabama. Remember, he was sent home from the combine last year after arguing with a hospital employee. I can't remember what the nature of the argument was, but he was sent home from the combine, couldn't even compete, fell all the way to the end of the first round. The Niners took him, and they felt like it was a steal because he should have been a 7th, 8th, or 8th overall pick.
Yeah.
But I mean, most people projected him in the top 10, but he was injured, and then he had that incident with the hospital. They did find, according to sources down at the Mercury News, they did find an assault rifle at his house.
Mm-hmm.
The girlfriend, when she initially called the police, it sounds like, said there should be two AR-15 weapons in the house, but sources, that's what the Mercury News wrote, sources familiar with the investigation said police found a single 5.16 short-barreled rifle, which it sounds like it is a relatively new model based on the AR-15. So they did find an assault rifle at his house down in California. So that goes out the window in terms of wondering whether or not they found it. And the domestic violence stuff, remember, the NFL has this policy now where it's basically a 6-game suspension. Boy, I mean, there you go. You throw the blanket over everybody that's accused of it. Ezekiel Elliott just went through this last year. There were no charges filed. He wasn't found guilty. None of that stuff. They did their investigation. They talked to the parties involved, and Ezekiel Elliott ended up with a 6-game suspension. Now you have Reuben Foster. Who knows where this goes from here? What kind of charges are filed? It's all just, you know, suspected offenses at this point of domestic violence. But once again, now you're going to have a 6-game suspension hanging over his head, not to mention the guy getting in trouble nonstop out the field. If I'm the 49ers, just get out of this, man. You got too much positive stuff.
Oh, you wouldn't even wait.
I wouldn't even wait. You got too much positive stuff going on. You just signed Garoppolo to a long-term deal. You got a ton of cap space to go spend money. You got a decently high draft pick. This kid has been a headache since the day you drafted him.
Yep.
He didn't stay healthy. When he was on the field, he was great. Now he's getting in trouble again. Just wash your hands with the situation and move on. You don't want another Alden Smith case.
And I think that was always the thing people pointed at with that Niner team when they had Alden Smith, is he comes onto the scene, and I believe he tied or set the rookie record for sacks in a rookie season. And you're thinking, okay, this is amazing. And then he starts having all these things come off the field. There's only so much you can deal with and so much you want to put your organization and fan base through. And I don't know if I'm 100% with you, but I completely get it. And that's what I'm wondering is, are they at the same point of, you shouldn't have to, I don't care if the kid is 21, 23, I just don't care. If I'm busted, even at that age, I know I can't screw up again. Don't put myself in bad situations. And you could say, well, maybe he's home and this young woman comes out and he doesn't do anything, but she upset at him and tries to, so what? You have a character radar here. Like, try to dictate and figure out who are people you can trust and don't put yourself in bad situations. There's a reason this doesn't happen to everybody.
Right.
And so I just look at the arrest in Alabama. That should have been the waking call. Dude, you were sent home for the combine. You were a guy a lot of people circled and said, can't stay healthy, character issues, someone to watch. And in your first year, you got banged up, you played well, and then you had an incident. What, a month and a half after the season, after their season? It's times like those that make you kind of look in the mirror and wonder, is it just better to cut and run instead of sitting there and supporting? And then maybe he ends up getting hit up on one of these charges, either the assault one, sure, domestic, but a misdemeanor of some sort, whatever it is. We don't know yet. But I just don't know if it's worth it. As you mentioned, the Niners have a good draft pick. They have a ton of cap space, the most in the NFL, and they just signed their franchise quarterback. They're riding a wave of momentum that you're hoping, at least from an organizational standpoint, you can take into next season. So as talented as he is, and as unfortunate as that news is with a talented player like that, sometimes as a team, you got to make those tough decisions. It's just about whether they're going to do it, or they're going to draw a line in the sand and say, this is it. We'll back you for this.
Yeah.
One more even little thing, you're gone.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how how much room they're willing to give him, because he's been in trouble a couple of times, and you know, good players, that they always get a lot, you know, more rope than other guys on the team. If he was an average player or a practice squad guy, he would have been probably cut with the marijuana issue when he got arrested. But he's Reuben Foster. He was a first round pick. They're going to give him some time. Somebody texting in asking, is it against the law to possess the weapon? I'm always confused by this. I don't know California's gun laws.
Maybe it's a permanent situation.
He has to have a permit to own the gun, but I don't know if somebody can help me with that. Are assault rifles illegal in California? I don't know. Every state handles this kind of stuff differently, especially with a gun like an AR-15, which it sounds like that's the model that it was made after. So if that's the case and it's an illegal gun to own in California, that's a whole nother issue. But first, you got to make sure even if it's legal to own the gun, do you have the permit to have that gun in your house? So it's a whole issue down there.
Yeah, everything I've seen on the story of him is basically there hasn't been much information on that, on the assault weapons charge. But again, we'll have to find out.
Yeah. Somebody said, I think you ride out with Foster a little bit and trade him before it happens again. That's easier said than done. When do you know this is going to happen again? The guy's been in trouble two times now in the last 5-6 weeks in San Francisco.
Yeah, they thought after the last time nothing would happen.
And somebody texting in, AR-style rifles are very illegal in California.
So,
very illegal. That's what I thought.
There you go, yeah.
So it doesn't matter if he's got a permit to own it or not. It's illegal to own a gun like that in California. So he's got one of those in his house. That's a whole big charge. That's not even counting the domestic violence charge. Somebody said, speaking from a law enforcement standpoint, I've never arrested anybody without some type of proof of domestic violence, a red mark, bruise, et cetera. If they booked him, they have something on him. So we'll see where this goes with Reuben Foster. The NFL gets their latest chance to make an example of somebody accused of domestic violence. The 49ers went through this similar kind of stuff with Aldon Smith for a number of years. Now get it again with Reuben Foster, their new linebacker.
Well, and, you know, I think as a fan, it hurts because you saw how talented he is when he plays. It's also just sucks as a football fan because you don't like to see talent like this just get wasted. I hope this isn't the end for him. Whether he stays with the Niners or not, I hope he can somehow turn it around for himself, figure out the character issues, and get it squared away, because we just know that when he plays, he's one of the more talented rookies that were out there last year.
Yeah, so we'll see where Reuben Foster goes from here. Arrested over the weekend. He had an assault rifle in his house. Police were called, accused of domestic violence, and not looking good for the rookie out of Alabama who, when healthy, played well for the 49ers this past season. Hey, we finally had somebody sign in Major League Baseball. What does it mean for the Cubs, and is he worth that much money? Crunch time is next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past, and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world, and when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month, so why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? I'll be out at the Glorious House again today after the show.
Let's what? Go
work out outside, dude. Get my workout on.
It's deceptively cold, though.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's like 42 degrees right now.
A little chilly. But I'm not going to work out Wednesday, you know, the whole Valentine's Day thing.
46.
No days off.
Wait, what?
No days off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We got to do dinner and a movie and stuff. Workout delays things. I don't get it. When I work out, I don't get home till like 5:30, 5:45. Then you got
to
shower.
What time are you going to a movie?
I don't know. We got to do dinner and a movie. It's a whole thing. She's got to get up early the next day.
Why is that your go-to date?
That's just what we like to do. I'm a big dinner and a movie guy.
Okay.
And she's picking the movie, unfortunately.
Do you know what she's going to pick?
Oh, yeah.
Can you say it?
It's the new, if it's out, God, I hope it's not out, but I'm sure it is. Last year, we went to go see that 50 Shades nonsense.
Oh, you're seeing the new 50 Shades.
Yeah, the old tie them up and spank them thing.
Yeah. Hey, more material for you.
There you go, right? It's a whole thing.
Good for you.
Like, all right. That was, not going
to
lie.
You need to go in with the little reporter notepad and like take stuff down during the movie.
I'm not going to lie to you, and I hope she's not listening because this might upset her.
Okay.
The last one might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
The first one is the only one I've seen, and it was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Like, so bad.
There was no sex in the first one. And
so bad.
That was half the reason drunk Brandon was all alone watching that movie.
Right? You're like, oh, let's check this out. Let's maybe see. Things heat up a little bit.
How dark does Christian Grey really get, huh?
What the hell?
He spanked her one time.
It's just a dirty tease.
Where are you
man.
Going for dinner? Dinner is something to look forward to.
I have not made reservations yet.
You don't need to.
Yeah, I know. I didn't last year, but.
With so many places to eat in Portland.
That's true. Yeah,
you sound like you're really prepared for Wednesday, which is 2 days away.
Got to get a gift, too. I'll do it. You know, we'll figure it out.
Okay. Right?
I got 2 days left. Hey, we have some breaking news in the baseball world. Finally, people. Finally.
Baseball's time!
Baseball
stop.
Somebody has signed.
Somebody tipped off the reporter that this was coming, huh?
That's somebody, you, Darvish. He is going to be a Chicago Cub.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Yu Darvish signs, what was it, 6 years, $120 million, $130
million? $126
million, yeah. $126 million. A lot of money. A couple of interesting side stories from this, and then we'll get to what it means for the Cubs. First off, it sounded like the Dodgers made an identical offer to him. Of course, if you remember, he pitched for the Dodgers in the second half of last year, did not pitch well in the World Series, but was great before the World Series. So he had to choose between the Cubs and the Dodgers. He chose to go to the Cubs. And then the other side story of that, too, is before the Cubs finalized this deal, they offered Jake Arrieta the same contract. Jake Arrieta, who won the Cy Young, won a World Series with Chicago, they offered him somewhere in the range of 6 years, $126 million.
And he said no?
He turned him down.
So Scott Boras is whining, yes. Pitching, moaning, not really holding up.
So stop it. Jake Arrieta could be signed for 6 years, $126 million. He said no. So stop your bitching.
What are you doing? That's so...
So we'll see where he goes from here, but Yu Darvish goes to the Cubs.
Good deal for Yu Darvish. I don't know if it's a good deal for the Cubs, though. 6 years, 126 for a guy that basically is over, what, a 3.4, 3.3 ERA for his career in the bigs?
Well, he's so up and down. When he's on,
he's
dialed in,
he's
unhittable. Yep. But when he's not and he's inconsistent and starts grooving stuff, look out.
I wonder why he chose the Cubs over the Dodgers if the same offer was
there. You know
what
my theory is on this?
Okay.
It's because of how he pitched in the World Series.
Kershaw had a... I mean,
but Kershaw's different.
Kershaw's a different mentality.
Kershaw's different, and he was. It wasn't a free. Well, he can opt out this year.
Well, plus the fact. I mean, the Dodgers still have. They got some young guys. So if Darvish was struggling,
yeah.
He's going to get either sent to the bullpen or sent down to the minor leagues to work it out. The Dodgers have potentially seven different guys who can start if they're all healthy.
He's still going to get paid.
Well, and whether it's whether it's valid or not, I think there would have been, if he struggled, say, in the first 6 weeks of the season, I think there's a lot of built up animosity in that fan base of this guy. I mean, he was the reason they
lost
the
guy
World
Series. They end up hating.
He got shelled twice. He started game seven. He gave up, what, 4 runs in 3 innings.
He was
awful, right? Yeah. And so if you come out and you sign this big 6 year, $126 million contract, and then you don't pitch well in the first couple of weeks of the season, yeah, there's going to be some boo birds at Dodger Stadium. And he doesn't get that. You get the whole new welcome in, welcome to Chicago. You're the new fresh face, a new sexy relationship. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
I think because of the way the free agency period's gone for Major League Baseball, it's making me evaluate and think about some of these players and the contracts they get. Yu Darvish could very well prove me wrong here in the first blank amount of years. I don't know if as a Cubs fan, it's not my money and there's not really a cap. 6 years, though, $126 million? We could be spending our money and that's where it's going is Yu Darvish?
That's where it's going. This is the whole issue of free agency.
You're not feeling great about that, are you?
No, you're not. I mean, he hasn't been the same pitcher. Not that he's been bad, but you go back.
But
to
he's his, not great.
I mean, you go back to his first couple of years in the big leagues, and he was dominant. In his first 3 years in Texas, he was so fun to watch. 3.9 ERA to a 2.83 ERA in his second year. Then the injuries started to pile up. He missed all of the 2015 season. He only made 17 starts in 2016. Last year, again, at least got back to the durability and made over 30 starts combined with the Rangers and the Dodgers after the trade deadline. But he had a 4 ERA with Texas and a 3.44 ERA.
Yeah, it's not extraordinary.
With the Dodgers. And let's not forget, the guy is turning 32 in August. So you're signing him up until he's 37 years old. Yeah, I get the trepidation of signing deals.
I don't know why you would sign any pitcher over the age of 31 longer than 3 years.
That's what I'm saying. You could have given him big money for shorter years, I bet, and he still would have taken it.
Yeah, you might have. And that's the tough part is, and it goes back to the whole conversation about the market that we're seeing right now, is would he have signed for 3 years? Like, how much money would you have had to get? Because if I ask you how many good years does Darvish have left, probably three.
Three is the max,
you know,
I would go.
Well, and I wonder how those contracts are structured, too, how much they're front-loaded.
Sure.
And if, like, the last years, if they're guaranteed or not, or if, you know, what sort of buyouts you can have on those. I've got to imagine there's some outs for the teams if he gets injured or something and they... You know,
well, I mean, look at Matt Kemp's deal. Matt Kemp's deal has been traded a couple times. If you can trade that contract,
you could trade a pitcher.
I saw a funny stat, by the way, about the Dodgers. Get this: that if Kershaw opts out this coming, because he can opt out of his contract after this next year. If he opts out, you know who the highest paid Dodger in 2019 will be?
Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp, who's now on the Dodgers because that contract's back on their books because they traded for him. I was like, whoa, that came full circle, didn't it?
Oh, man, what a flashback.
So, I mean, if you can move that contract, you can move all of them. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, look, this is, in the short term at least, the Cubs needed to do this. If they didn't have Arrieta around, they got a dynamite offense. Their staff is good with Lester and Kyle Hendricks and Quintana, who they got from the White Sox last year, who was big in the second half. But Lackey is gone. Seems like he's been pitching for 45 years. He's finally gone. And then Arrieta turned down their offer. So they had to find somebody else to fill that either second or third spot in the rotation behind Lester. And Darvish, 10-12 last year, 3.86. You could do worse than that. They're just paying him too much money.
So actually, here's an interesting thing. I don't know what Arrieta's doing here. And he could very well get a bigger deal at some point. He's going to turn 32 here in just like 2 or 3 weeks. And you turn down a 6-year, $120, $25, $26 million deal for the Cubs? Why? That's the thing is, Scott Boras has been very vocal about this whole pay and not paying enough and the players deserve more. Great. Fight for the players all you want. You're really fighting for yourself because you want a bigger payday since you get a small percentage. Guys like Arrieta should be told to take those deals. What team's going to give him $150? Yeah, I think that team is going to be idiotic. I don't care if it's the Yankees, Red Sox. Yeah. Dude's going to be 32 here in 3 weeks.
No, thank you. I would not give him that contract.
That just goes to the when is enough enough.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. So
like Hosmer, $120 million. Yeah. J.D. Martinez, $130. Like, why won't you guys sign those deals?
Somebody,
good God.
Yeah, Cub fan, I believe, texting in saying they got him for cheap. It'll end up being a good deal. We'll see. In the short term, it's a big deal for them. We'll see how it pans out at the end in years 4, 5, and 6 of the deal.
As you know, as a Giants fan, Barry Zito, you only need one World Series to make you feel like it was okay.
The Giants are tied to this with Johnny Cueto. Sweet Jesus, how many years are left on that contract. But, hey, if you win for one more year, I guess it's worth it. Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month, so why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about where Sprague and I work out at crunch.com. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Something happening in the state of Oregon over the weekend we did not get to in the first hour, and we're curious if anybody is paying attention. A potential comeback story in the National Football League, and I'm curious if people, A, think it'll work, and B, feel any sympathy. And then we'll start with football. Should it be played under the age of 14? Because some states are trying to get rid of it. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.